You've had a dynamic where money's become freer than free.
If you talk about a Fed just gone nuts, all the central banks going nuts.
So it's all acting like safe haven.
I believe that in a world where central bankers are tripping over themselves to devalue their currency, Bitcoin wins. In the world of fiat currencies, Bitcoin is the victor.
I mean, that's part of the bull case for Bitcoin.
If you're not paying attention, you probably should be.
Ivan, welcome to the show. I love the fishbowl camera lens that you've got going on here.
Like we call ourselves that we're in an echo chamber. Now it appears that I am. Yeah.
Thank you
very much for the invite. It was, I would say, a long road to get here, at least for me. But very, very appreciate. I'm a fan of the show for years now.
Well, I'm glad to have you on, particularly to talk about the piece that you wrote, The Digit Addiction Pandemic. See, drawing parallels to substance abuse and our addiction to digits in the digital world. And I think maybe that's a good jumping off point, is what inspired you to draw these parallels between substance addiction and our relationship with digital digits and in the modern digital world.
I would say that the first main idea was I was struggling how to finally separate the altcoins and tokens and all sorts of stuff from Bitcoin. When you write a piece, you are thinking, how do I structure it in a whole cohesive timeline, sentence, narrative, stuff like that. And I would say out of all of my articles that I wrote, that thing came to me to unite all my thoughts into these addictions to some abstractional, disconnected from reality thing. And that's how it became the addiction. And pandemic is just trendy, so that's why I used it. That was the initial thought. How do I separate Bitcoin from everything else as a thought? But through this narrative of addiction, I make comparisons between all sorts of stocks, bonds, tokens in games, views in social media with the addictions of chemicals or anything else that we could get ourselves addicted to.
Yeah, so I guess let's really dive into it, like defining digit addiction, how it manifests, and the negative externalities that emanate from our addiction to these digits in our modern age.
So the main idea about digits, I do believe that digits were fundamental for our society, because to invent zero was a big deal. To invent from 1 to 9, the Arabic numbers were awesome stuff. But when you use those abstractional digits to connect them to reality, that is extremely useful. And that is numbers for temperature, numbers for length, numbers for time, all sorts of stuff. But when you connect all those abstractional stuff to things that are disconnected to reality, like fiat currency or all sorts of derivatives out of that, that is where the problems occur. But now our society that is used to numbers going up in houses, in bonds, in all sorts of stuff, even though in nominal value it increases, but in purchasing power it decreases, we get addicted to that thing. We need it to go up, because if it goes down, we crash and the whole system crashes, and we don't want that. But if you play that over more than a century, this is where we end up. And now we are just so addicted to those numbers that we need them to go up, that is for me the parallel, that is now the addiction. And we are so fearful of that those numbers going down that we are not willing to sacrifice anything else.
Yeah, and it's almost a how am I trying? It's subversive because while it's very clear that this addiction does exist and it is pervasive, it's not well understood by the people that are addicted to it. They don't understand why their monkey brains are saying, I need this number to go up. If it doesn't, my life is worse off. And this really gets to the core of the problem, which is the fiat currency. And I really like how Matthew Mazinkus from Porkopolis Economics defines fiat currency. It's this Wittgenstein's ruler where the sort of measurement is always changing. And so you need larger sort of base units to attain the same purchasing power in the real world. And I think that's something that Bitcoiners have been trying to do for some time, but I really like the way in which you draw the parallels and define it as this digit addiction, and this structure of the fiat monetary system really fosters this addiction.
Yeah, and you are using that. Imagine the ruler is changing all the time. But if you apply the same thinking, imagine the temperature that we measure stuff. It's always changing. It's the exact same manipulation, and or weight. Imagine that you get up on the scale, the weight is completely different than the day before, the year before, and stuff like that. It will be chaos. All those things are extremely valuable. But now, for the first time ever, somebody figured out that the exact same connection to reality can be applied to value in the form of Bitcoin. And now, this is the base of measuring value. The only thing that why we are not completely there is that we are not all using it. So the network effect is not 8 billion people. It's still in a few million, I would say.
Yeah. And again, it goes back to this misunderstanding of what money is and why you go out and try to accumulate it and hopefully accumulate more so that you can maintain your quality of life in a world of perpetual fiat debasement. And that debasement is controlled by what you define as like digit lords. So let's get into digit lords, who or what they are and how they force us into this life of addiction.
Yeah. Well, when you design that system, I love that narrative is that now I can separate from this thing that Jeff Booth, big fan, that he says it's not they, it's we. But I disagree with him that in the fiat system, there is a they. And the they are the people that are manipulating and distributing those numbers. Anybody that can create digits out of nothing and put it in one computer and buy stuff with it, that's for me is the digit lord. And I talk about in the different industries that in fiat currencies, that's the obvious thing. But then if you go to stocks, to bonds, what is a bond? Bond is something that should represent money, but it makes it more appealing that we are going to give you yield. Like if you go to money itself, you don't need a yield. Money should be money. It shouldn't be something that multiplies itself because somebody said so. Yeah, those are for me the digit lords and how it fits with the narrative of the addictions, that they are manipulating all of our lives through the digits. And they give some authority to digit distributors, the brokers, the bond dealers, or I don't know. Every industry has its own digit dealers. And they turn us into addicts. Because one last thing that I'm adding to this equation is that every single one of those things has some benefit. Because if it had no benefit, they were not going to addict us to it. But if you get addicted to that particular benefit, and let's say for fiat currency, the easiness of use of the dollar globally, Now, if you try to drop it, it's so incredibly hard. So that means, yeah, you got addicted to that benefit. And it's also fits why orange pilling is so hard, because people that are used to the fiat systems and getting addicted to convenience or any type of benefit they're used to, it's so hard to let it go and get on a completely different standard, and we all cooperate. The most beautiful thing that I see in Bitcoin is that Bitcoin is not asking. So either you understand and choose it, or you suffer the consequences of not understanding and not use it.
Listen, freaks, I know you're tired of me talking about Fold, but I'm going to beat the drum. I'm going to beat the dead horse. If you're a Bitcoiner living in the United States and you're not using Fold, I'm just going to ask one question. What are you doing? You're leaving sats on the table. They've got gift cards. They've got their debit card. You can use your credit card. Just connect your credit card to the Fold app. Use the Fold app to pay off your credit card, and you're going to stack your credit card points and Bitcoin as well. They even teamed up with CrowdHealth to give their members Fold Plus membership at no cost. Don't leave sats on the table. Go sign up for Fold today. Go to tftc.io/fold. There's nothing to lose except sats that you could have stacked. Sup, freaks. This rip of TFTC was brought to you by our good friends at CoinKite. They make the Cold Card Q, my favorite hardware wallet, the most secure hardware wallet on the market. As you can see, it's got the BlackBerry form factor, full keyboard. It's got two secure enclaves. You create your private public keys offline. The device never has to go online, never does go online. So you keep your Bitcoin secure. If you have your Bitcoin on exchanges and you're looking to get it off, secure it in the best way possible. Pick up a Cold Card Q. Go to coinkite.com, find the Cold Card Q. Use the code TFTC for 5% off. If you're a power user of Bitcoin, like I am, if you're running a business on a Bitcoin standard, if you're just a Bitcoiner who wants to secure your Bitcoin, get the most secure hardware wallet on the market, go get the Cold Card Q. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, I guess that gets to the question of like how, like, addicts have a problem, right? They never want to admit they're addicted to something. I'm not sure if you're aware of a show that was famous here in the United States many years ago called Intervention, but it was essentially a family or group of friends would get together and try to intervene with an individual in their lives who was addicted to something. And that was one of the running themes of the show, is the common occurrence of the addict basically having this aggressive reaction to the intervention itself, saying, I'm not an addict. I don't need help. I'm fine. I'm going to get through this by myself and I don't need to change. It's not that bad. And I guess how do you go through this detox and this intervention process with individuals who are stuck in fiat land? How do you shake them and say, hey, you have a pretty massive detrimental addiction that is not good for your quality of life. Like, you need to get off the sauce. How do we incite that detox process?
I would say for every person is different, but that detoxification happens outside of the comfort zone. And that's why all of us resist. I'm not immune to it. Like, I'm used to the things that are convenient to me. So just because I understood some part of Bitcoin doesn't mean that I'm not addicted to other stuff. But it always happens outside of the comfort zone. And if you're forced out of your comfort zone, there is big resistance. But I'm also a fan of Wim Hof, the Iceman, if you're familiar, that he recognized that if you go into the cold, but if you're willing, you know that there will be pain, that there will be a resistance, something completely changes in our minds of how you perceive that exact same experience. And that is where our brains, our bodies, everything grows. But if we are forced, there's a lot of resistance and you want to go back. You want to get away from the pain. But if you're willingly going outside of the comfort zone, that's where the most expansion happens mentally and physically. And Bitcoin has both. I would say my experience was definitely a mix of two. I had an enormous pain in the fiat system. And when I connected Bitcoin to the potential savior for my pain, that's why I became a believer very fast. But going back to your question, I can't say, like, those are the two choices, and we're going that there, in my view, anyway. But it depends how people get there. Majority will be out of pain. Yeah.
Well, let's pull on that thread of your experience feeling pain in the fiat world and recognizing Bitcoin as a potential solution. How did that manifest?
Okay, a little bit of context. So the first time that I heard about Bitcoin was 2013, but I was busy in my life. And what I was busy with is that in 2008, when the financial crisis happened, my mother was a pretty successful lady in Bulgaria. And in 2013, she said, I want a divorce with my father. It was too big of problems happened. Just the financial stuff were things that putting fuel to the fire, I would say. And in early 2014, my father decided to kidnap and kill her. And that was my pain, that for 7 years I was dealing in the fiat system with the inheritance problems, with all sorts of stuff. With lawyers, with relatives, with my smaller sister, I had to deal with the problems. Nobody asked me. Life is like that. Deal with it. And when I finally decided to study Bitcoin in December 2021, and I connected that if all the assets of my mother were in Bitcoin, then they were going to die with her. Maybe my father was going to think about if he really wants to kill her or not. And I would say then I have regret that I didn't study in 2013. I don't know what would have happened then, but that was my biggest pain, and that's why I say it's a mix of the two.
Holy crap. I am terribly sorry to hear that. That's insane. And it does, in my own life, I don't have anything that pales in comparison to what you went through, but I do recognize sort of similar themes with my dad's career growing up. Like we felt the impacts of all the financial bubbles that happened throughout my life and his career pretty acutely in my family. He was in the asset management space. He raised money for funds. And 2001, the family moved down, or in 2000, we moved down to South Carolina so that you could take over the Southeast territory here in the United States. But the dot-com bubble burst essentially right when we moved down here. And when we moved down to South Carolina, within a year of moving to South Carolina, he got laid off because of that. He built back, his career over the course of the next 7 years. And 2008 happened, that knocked him off his trajectory as well. And then all throughout both those financial crises, like that created an immense amount of stress for a family. And that's something that I've sort of honed in on, and which I think made me very receptive to Bitcoin when I found it, was recognizing that this way in which the fiat world operates was sort of fundamental to the stress that our family felt financially directly. And again, I'm so sorry to hear what happened to your mother and the stress that was brought into your family because of this stuff too, which pales in comparison to what we had to deal with. But that's insane.
And thank you for the condolences, but why I put my face out there and why I became such a strong believer, because again, I was an idiot that I was ignoring in Bitcoin in 2017, in 2018, I have other problems, this and that. And I finally capitulated because my soulmate was chasing me for more than a year to study about Ethereum. And my final straw was a close friend returned the money that he owed me. And I asked me, from where do you have the money? And he said, oh, in crypto, everything is great, in 2021. And I intentionally started to study this and to prove that this is bullshit. And in the process of that, I found out about Bitcoin. Like, I couldn't find a hole in Bitcoin. I'm not a developer. I'm not an I am a physical engineer. I was studying civil engineering, so I have that type of logical thinking. But my main point is, going back to the beginning of the conversation, I was still an idiot. Like, I had to connect it to a big pain of mine that this was the solution. And now I am thinking, how can I fully transition into a Bitcoin standard? Because I am never going back. Like, nobody can convince me out of the thinking that, oh, fiat is better at this point. Like, no fucking way.
Yeah, and I think I've reached a similar point in my life as well. I think it's pretty safe to say that if anybody's been listening to the show long enough. And bringing this back to like the Wim Hof mindset, it is a pretty hard thing to do to make the switch to like a full Bitcoin standard on your personal balance sheet, especially if you have a family. I've got two kids, another on the way, been married for many years, and making that jump, not only as an individual, but once you get other individuals that you're responsible for, sort of dependent on this as well, the stakes increase significantly. So I think that Wim Hof framing of, you know, there's going to be some pain, but you got to do it anyway, and just change your mindset is very important. And on that thought, like, what are some things mentally that you think people thinking about Bitcoin should visualize in terms of the pain they're probably going to endure, that they should expect, and just have the intestinal fortitude to stomach it while they're going through it?
There are two questions for me here, not just one. One is what to focus on and what to ignore. Like, to avoid the pain is really, what are your visions for your personal life? I always say to everybody that make a list of everything that you want to achieve in your life, everything that you want to buy in your life, and that becomes your priority. If you don't start with the life, you can't detach from the number going up in fiat, the perception of number going up in fiat. Because even if you measure Bitcoin with fiat, you still are not measuring the right stuff. You're using the old system. But for me, if you make that list, what you want to accomplish, and you start measuring that with Bitcoin, that is the ultimate goal for me. Because you can say, oh, my life now costs, let's say, 50 Bitcoin for the next 50 years, or for my family, or whatever. In 4 years, it will be, let's say, 10 Bitcoin. Then it will be half a Bitcoin, and it will decrease. That is the proper measurement for me. But if you're measuring anything with fiat, that means that you're not detached. And that is what to focus on. But how to deal with the to stomach the pains out of, okay, let's not take too much pain in the bear market. First of all, why do you feel pain? Again, you're measuring not in the proper ruler, but also you're not structuring your life the way that you want it to be. We are always going to have troubles, pains, whether we are on a Bitcoin standard or not. If you want to get into the Bitcoin economy, my life becomes richer in the bear market. I connect to such a high quality people. My network increases with the people that I communicate. We build together. We experience that promise of freedom from Bitcoin when I communicate with those people. And when Bitcoin goes down, it really doesn't affect me as much because I don't see it as an investment. I see it that this is money, and the money is not meant to be store of value only. It is about those three things finally coming back to one thing, because when fiat money happened, they separated the two functions of gold, and that's where the problems of gold began. But now it's uniting, and those functions are even better than anything before. It really, for me, you should use your life measured in Bitcoin. If you use any type of fiat digit, that means you're not detached, at least mentally. And if you make that shift, all the rest of the things are so much easier to deal with, at least in my experience. I can't promise for everybody.
Our good friends, Parker Lewis and Dhruv Bansal, are two of the deepest thinkers in Bitcoin. While they come from very different backgrounds, they've landed on the exact same conclusion. It's Bitcoin that matters, not crypto. This masterclass lays out why 21 million is the key breakthrough, how Bitcoin, not blockchain, creates decentralization, and why everything else will be built on Bitcoin. Understand why Bitcoin works and why nothing else does. Watch the premiere at unchained.com/TFTC. That's unchained.com/TFTC.
Now, it is really important because, right, you don't want to bring the digit addiction to your life under a Bitcoin center. You have to reframe and use sats as your unit of account and think about, all right, pricing everything in sats mentally to basically look at what I have, what I'm spending, and am I happy with what I'm spending, or is my the number of sats that I possess and that I own going up ultimately over time? And if it is, it means that I'm spending wisely and producing more than I spend on a month-to-month, day-to-day basis. And it's funny, you mentioned the bear markets and the strength of the network of individuals that hang around in the bear markets, because if you're there when the price is down 80% and you are working on making sure that Bitcoin succeeds, you probably are ideologically and philosophically aligned. And while we're talking on this particular topic of digit addiction, it's like analogous to Alcoholics Anonymous networks. When the bear market comes, you have that network of people who are detoxing their life from the digit addiction and getting on a Bitcoin standard that are there as a support group to let you know you're not crazy. There is a their signal here, and this is worth sticking out a bear market and building through it.
I will add a little bit of nuance. I agree with everything, but you said to use Bitcoin as the unit of account. I'm saying even a step further, use your life as the unit of account and then measure Bitcoin in that. Because we all have one life,
yep.
But everybody uses and wants to achieve different things. Because I had Bitcoiners that say, oh, get to one Bitcoin or whatever. Like, no, start with what... I'm sorry. What do you want in your life? Because if everything that you want in your life, let's say, is 50 Bitcoin, you don't need to get to one. You need to get to 50 if you want to have it now. But somebody in Africa, maybe he needs 0.01 to have the life that he wants. So that's why, like, use the unit of account of the life that you want. That is the little nuance that I wanted to add. And to go back to the how do they call when alcoholics slip up? There was a English
relapse.
Term. That, yes, the relapse. And if you, let's say, relapse and start measuring Bitcoin in fiat terms, you're going to go to the ETFs. You're going to go to, oh, this one is giving yield. You're going to go to everything else. And now you are transferring where you put your energy, your power is taken away, and you're supporting the fiat standard further. So be careful. So those are the two comments there.
Yeah. And so do you think, I don't need to ask you, I think you're very well in the camp of you got to actually use Bitcoin not only as a savings vehicle, particularly in the form of an ETF or some wrapped derivative Bitcoin exposure, you need to actually be stacking sats, possessing them, and taking control of your wealth to truly detox from this digit addiction.
Yeah, like if you want to completely detox, yes, I do recognize that there will be a transitional period. Like right now, all of the debt is insolvable. And if it collapses to nothing. But if you back it with Bitcoin, that one, at least it gives a hard stop at some point. So I do see that Bitcoin will be used and financialized. So it has some bottom, because right now the debt has no bottom. But I do view it as a transitional period. And for me, again, personally, with my story and where I want to go, is that if you're touching anything fiat, that means we're not on a Bitcoin standard. So that is my end goal. But even today, I can't completely live on the Bitcoin standard and the Bitcoin infrastructure. So I'm a little bit of a hypocritical in that sense, but that doesn't mean that I'm not recognizing those two things and where I want to go particularly.
Yeah, so this gets into the whole conversation about building the infrastructure that makes the Bitcoin standard possible. I mean, that's a lot of what we do at 1031, is investing in companies in the space, building out the infrastructure, and we think it's very important. And I think there's a very strong case to be made that as this infrastructure gets built out, it actually makes Bitcoin more valuable because it's more accessible, more intuitive, better user experience around interacting with UTXOs and second layer solutions, which is a lot of what your focus at Breeze is. And you guys have launched a product recently to really make it as easy as possible for people to start using Bitcoin in an intuitive way, in a very user-friendly way out of the box. But I think broadly speaking, in your view, what does meaningful participation in the Bitcoin ecosystem look like?
I would say anything. Like, the life that we currently have is built on fiat. So all of that needs to get on Bitcoin. And it doesn't have to be developing an app. It doesn't have to be writing a script. I always say that the barbers they build their business on fiat infrastructure. And now they need to develop the barber infrastructure to be on top of the Bitcoin infrastructure, with payments, with the community, with, I don't know how the hairstyles will affect this particular thing, but I'm saying the infrastructure is important. And anything, if you're pushing education, yeah, that's a little bit more theoretical, but very important. I wouldn't be here because of people like you and all the Bitcoin podcasts out there. Do even more, like do some action, like go pay some sats, is very easy thing. Accept Bitcoin for payments. That's, again, even easier based on the writings of Parker Lewis. But anything in that sense is good. And if you help out to build the network, the social network and the usability, that is making all of this work better, faster, stronger. Like, if you just hodl, yeah, we are decentralizing the ownership, but we're not promoting the Bitcoin standard. Like, we are using the fiat standard, but backed it up on Bitcoin safe storage or something. Like, yeah, we need to use everything. And my latest article was really comparing those two things. Yeah, I know it's a critique to Michael Saylor. I take the chart of Jesse Myers where people store their value, and I think that thing needs to collapse. People shouldn't store their value in usable things. People should store their value in money. That's it. And all the other things should be utility. But When do we get there? I have no idea. With Breeze, I am incredibly lucky that they chose me, probably because of the passion that I exert in the interview. And I would say that I'm the biggest cheerleader for Breeze because it really aligns with my mission. And they're pushing this, I would say, hard. And we still learn in the company that user experience in so many cases is the most important thing. Tech, yeah, it's important to work, but for people, they care about user experience.
And on that note, do you think this is something that broader crypto has gotten better than Bitcoin to date?
I have no idea.
Because that's a big, that's been a big trope for some time, and I've been skeptical of it, is this idea that there's a ton of attention in crypto, and it's because they've created environments that are conducive for developers to build really impressive UIs and user experiences using JavaScript libraries that make it intuitive. Like, Bitcoin is too clunky, and I just find that hard to believe. I don't have any idea either, because despite the fact that I critique it a lot, I have not played around with a lot of those tools because I think they're built on unsound foundations.
Yeah, I agree with that, and good that you picked up on the having no idea. Yeah, they're building tech, but for me, one of the best things that I really care about is things like a BTC map. Like, that for me is an indicator of the economy. But all the other stuff, they don't have a BTC map and merchants and stuff like that, making it into the daily lives of people. They're trying to pump some people out of bags. They are saying, oh, this is cool tech or whatever. And eventually they will lose, like either slowly or suddenly. It doesn't matter. But for me, Bitcoin becomes part of people's lives, and crypto is becoming part of speculators and stuff like that. Yeah, you can speculate. I tried to, when I was doing the research, I intentionally went into some shitcoins to just to confirm for myself, and it was horrible. Like, people don't know what they're building, actually, at least what I've researched. So I doubt that they'll do anything really, really meaningful. They might do some cool game or anything that, let's say, 1 million people uses it, but Bitcoin will be everywhere.
Agreed. And I think that's one thing that has annoyed me as people have been trotting out that narrative. Like, there's a lot to learn from crypto. We should be applying some of it. It's like, I really don't think we should be porting over degenerate bag dumping technology onto the Bitcoin landscape, particularly when you consider the sort of philosophical underpinnings of Bitcoin, which is low time preference, save money, do not go and seek yield, just simply store your money, your wealth, and better money, and you'll be rewarded in the long run. Which brings me to the point that there's still a ton of low-hanging fruit in my mind as it pertains to positioning Bitcoin and highlighting the better user experience that already exists in terms of just like pure peer-to-peer transaction broadcasting and receiving of Bitcoin outside of any centralized mechanism, whether that be Swift, the wiring system, Fedwire, whatever it may be. And then on top of that, like Lightning, that definitely has its pain points, but still, even with those pain points, it's significantly better technology compared to the fiat rails. And I'm thinking of podcasting 2.0 and Noster specifically, just being able to, people are going to listen to this podcast and stream us sats, many of them from Breeze wallets. That they've set up, and it's coming straight to my Lightning node that I run here at TFTC. And then Noster, obviously, with the explosion of that peer-to-peer communications protocol and embedding the Lightning network and now eCash into that protocol, like, people are basically helping others monetize content that they deem as valuable using Bitcoin. And the user experience is literally click a button and you send sats from your wallet to somebody else's immediately. It's pretty good. And I think we should highlight and foster that superior user experience. Again, there's certainly pain points that can be designed around and made better, but I think we should do more of celebrating the incredible nature of Bitcoin as it stands today.
Yeah, like we have so much work to do. Like just because we are early doesn't mean that it's going to happen by itself. A thing that I started saying recently, provoked by a close friend, is that things don't happen by themselves. People make things happen. So be part of the people that make things happen. Like we're not going to get there by just hodling. Like that will bring nothing. Like that will get us to digital capture 2.0 so fast. Yeah, but if we actually use it, I can talk until my face is blue to tell you all how easy it is to use Lightning or Bitcoin and stuff like that. And anybody can construct an argument against it. Like that happens. We know with some gold trolls that they are doing this. But if right now, if you give me a QR code, I can directly send you sats from Bulgaria to US, like in seconds. And I don't have to explain anything. People experience it, but they'll see this on the screen. But if you give this thing in their personal lives as an experience, they personally experience it. Their chemicals in the body change because of it. And it solves a problem that they're facing. Now you get them. And it's not going to happen just, oh, theoretically, let me explain you this and this. And people like you are doing this now for decades. We're not a majority Bitcoiners. It's just hard. But and things like Sri Lanka 2 years ago and Lebanon, when their fiat economy collapsed, people maybe have heard of Bitcoin, but they didn't experience the thing that was going to save them. People that were before and after and they experienced, I believe those are the real true hardcore Bitcoiners like me coming out of enormous pain. They will never go back. And that's the thing that I'm very grateful for everybody that did this. And that's why I loved and I quoted you in the article that we will win. I know that we will win because there are people that are never going back. Not only that are never going back, but the fiat babies are declining and Bitcoin babies are increasing. So we will win the adoption game in the second and third generations. So I'm very, very hopeful.
I am as well. And that comments on experience really piqued my interest. Do you think when it comes to, again, going back to this whole concept of detoxing yourself from the digit addiction and coming to a Bitcoin standard, do you think experience will lead to some of that recognition of the need to detox? Or do you think people will have to come to that recognition first and then have the experience? Like, are there products that can be built that create an experience that has a light bulb go off? And does that create a better top of funnel sort of mechanism to get people into Bitcoin? Or is it a personal recognition that needs to happen first and then you experience it and that experience confirms like, okay, there's something here.
It's kind of tricky. I don't know what is the solution really. But especially in Breeze, we know the pain of Lightning a lot. And that whole concept of opening and closing channels is bad thing for the Lightning experience. And if a person experiences lightning through some type of lightning pain, or oh, somebody closed my channel, or oh, this or that, like, you give them a negative experience and they'll confirm what they already believe. So the experience doesn't need that we build it, but it needs to be good, that it needs to solve people's pains, not create new ones. So that is the comment. The thing that I love about the experience is that it's undeniable. Like I said, if we taught theory, anybody can construct an argument against theory, like to be a denier or anything. But if you show, and people especially can touch, even though abstractional digits are coming to them, if they truly experience, they cannot deny it. Like, okay, let's say I cannot, but some people will find a way to deny it. But that is what I love, that if you solve their problem, now they have to justify why they are not using this better way. That's what I love, because it reverses the argument. Now we don't have to defend Bitcoin. If you give them that solution of the problem and experience, they have to justify why they are not using Bitcoin. So that's what I love.
Yeah. Well, let's dive into Misty and what you guys have been working on at Breeze to make this experience, particularly with the Lightning Network, more seamless so that people don't run into those pain points. And I think this is something, this design architecture of these Bitcoin wallets has become more popular in recent years by combining multiple second layer solutions to make the experience around Lightning specifically better.
Yeah. I would start by saying Roy is the my mentor here, and I'll build on the article that he wrote, I would say 6 months ago, that Lightning is the common language, that Lightning is not just this thing that will solve magically everything, but Lightning, we do view it that it plays a very strategical part of the whole ecosystem, that will be the connective tissue, the glue that connects all the other networks. And Misty particularly is built with the Liquid network. So, and we provide a Lightning interface for people using it. And for us, Lightning will be this, that whether it's a third layer, some custodial thing, whether it's Arc, whether it's some other protocols coming into play, they at this point they need to use Lightning so they operate more freely, and that is what Lightning will do. And we are trying to push Lightning itself, so we're building those type of solution to connect to those subnetworks themselves. Like, even when I hear Roy, when they started before my time, before me joining the company, that they were building some cool tech, they were innovators, they were the first people that said the term Lightning Service Provider and stuff like that, and said, even when we built it and it was working great, nobody cared. But when in the Breeze wallet, when they put a podcasting player, the usage increased 10x, an order of magnitude more. When they put in a POS system, again, and it's this thing that he also says, we don't need more Lightning apps. We need apps with Lightning. So it needs to integrate that experience into our day-to-day lives. So those are kind of the focus and how we build in Breeze. But I am, as I've said, the biggest cheerleader. So if you want to talk tech and strategy, I can connect you to Roy, and he's the real big voice about those kinds of things.
Yeah, no, I definitely need to have Roy on. I can't believe it's been 8 years of the show almost, and I haven't had Roy on, but I think that's exactly the right framing in two parts there. Lightning as this common language, this connective tissue between these interoperable protocols, whether it's Arc, Liquid, these Chaumian mints that are becoming more popular, Cashew and Fedimint protocols. That's the way forward, particularly for scaling and sort of extendability of how you use Bitcoin, whether that be more privately, cheaper, quicker, is you can use Lightning directly or use Lightning as this common language, this connective tissue to interop with all these other protocols that are being built on top of Bitcoin. And I think that product market fit of Bitcoin, or excuse me, Lightning as this connective tissue is being validated in real time via products like Misty, the Lightning gateways that Chami and Mints are using to make it interoperable. As people are paying Lightning invoices, you just make this experience such that you point, pay an invoice, and the end user has no idea that that Bitcoin's coming from Liquid through a gateway to Lightning, from a Chami and Mint through a gateway to Lightning. It just works. And so we're beginning to see Arc take hold as well. And both the teams building on those protocols with Arc Labs and Second coming to market. Like it seems like things are really beginning to accelerate there in terms of people recognizing of how to design and build on these interoperable protocols, which is incredibly exciting to see. But to the second point of Roy, like we don't need more Lightning apps. We need Lightning in more applications. And I think that is just abundantly clear. And like a simple application like here for TFTC, both sending and receiving invoices using Zaprite. Like we send invoices out to advertisers and they have the ability to pay Bitcoin on-chain Lightning and they can pay via fiat. But that's an example of like an invoicing application that makes it easier for us to run on Bitcoin standard. Similarly, like we receive invoices and we have the option to pay in fiat, Bitcoin over Lightning or on-chain. And I find myself paying over Lightning more and more because it's simply cheaper. We actually save money, particularly when you factor in the fees that Stripe and credit card processors take, which a lot of our a lot of the people that are invoicing us are beginning to put a premium on because they don't want to stomach those fees. So I completely agree with that. We just need Bitcoin integrated into more applications. And I mean, this is very much in line with what we were discussing earlier, which is this sort of red herring of Bitcoin should be integrating things from broader crypto because they have good ideas over there. It's like, no, not really. Like, and I think of Web 3.0 and I think podcasting 2.0, RSS and Bitcoin over Lightning and what we're seeing with Noster and Zaps, since you have this open source communications protocol and the ability to monetize on that protocol using Bitcoin, whether that's via Lightning or Chami and Mints now. And that maybe you can give credit to the 3.0 meme. Like that was a good idea, but it was just implemented terribly in broader crypto. And what Web 3.0 really is just integrating Bitcoin into other open source protocols and applications built on those protocols, which we're beginning to see.
Yeah. And how I hope that it happens is that in the article, the again, going back to it, the digital addiction pandemic, I do see not only those Bitcoin related networks to connect to it, to Lightning, but Lightning can connect even the fiat digit networks that we will experience the ultimate network effect. Imagine, let's say right now, all the franchise type of stores, restaurants, anything uses probably a loyalty digit. That loyalty digit for me is the CBDC in our current days. Like you can't use it in a competitor. The inflation is higher than the real inflation because those stores also experience inflation, the fiat inflation. So they need to put double inflation on that so they can play the exact same game, but in their own terms. They say all sorts of controls on those loyalty digits. But right now, what if they do exactly like one of your sponsors, Fold? They replace that loyalty digit with SAT or millisat. And now you completely plug into this network that you're not debased and you give this to your users. You can give even smaller things, but that is a real valuable economical thing. What now if another fiat network, one, any type of game that has currency in it? What if you replace that with millisats, and now a six-year-old kid can earn sats and be part of the real economy, go create a career, whatever they want from 6 years old, go buy bread and go buy toys or whatever they want getting out of that game, and they become again part of that network. I think that we're going there anyway, but I want to happen faster. But that's what I'm saying, that Lightning can connect so much more than just Bitcoin directly related stuff.
Yeah. I mean, and on that note of the transition to this Bitcoin standard, in your mind, how do you see it playing out in different scenarios, like a suddenly scenario or longer drawn out scenario? Like, what do you think are the conditions that exist that could lead to either of those end states, quick, steady adoption or a quick sort of rapid adoption or a slower, steady, controlled transition adoption phase?
That is the question that in my mind, it's unpredictable. Like, I can make arguments for both. I do think that if the fiat type of infrastructure breaks and now Bitcoin becomes more and more dominant, we may get to a sudden stage. But going back to Lebanon, they had the suddenly thing collapse, and they're not majority Bitcoiners. So you need to be in their face. They need to experience the solution. Going back to it, because if you just have pain, it's not enough, because you get to something else that mitigates that pain, but it's not the solution. It will be a mix of both. Maybe some countries will be suddenly, maybe some dictator will buy all the Bitcoin and will collapse their own currency, even though it's hard. Maybe some printer will start buying Bitcoin. I have no idea. Like, that's the impossible question. I know that fiat degrading is inevitable. Bitcoin getting stronger is also inevitable. So I don't worry about the other stuff. If you focus on the building, you rise with Bitcoin and you can build on top of it. If you don't get into it, like, you just watch on the sides and you'll be forced to make a decision later on.
Yeah, don't forsake your descendants. make the transition quicker rather than delaying it, is my advice. I think it's worked out well for me and my progeny up to this point. But on this, like, to wrap up with, like, if you had to give or pull out one key message from your piece and give one call to action for anybody listening to this, what would those be?
I would say experience Bitcoin, like, with all its limitations, with all its benefits, but experience it and judge for yourself. Like, the thing that we have the biggest beef with crypto is that we say Bitcoin only and shitcoins and stuff like that. Yeah, but we should just outcompete them, not waste time of argumenting against one or the other. We should simply outcompete them, and we have been for 16 years. Trying to say that other things do not have benefit is kind of pushing people away. They say, oh, we are toxic, we are stuff like that, because everything has its own benefits. Everything has its own negatives. But if you never experience Bitcoin, you cannot judge. And I do agree completely that if you want to go to a Bitcoin standard, every single individual can do it suddenly. But as a humanity, I don't think it will be suddenly. But I do think it's not... I will be able to see it. So we'll see. Again, it's an impossible question, but going back to it, just experience Bitcoin with everything and use it where it's valuable for your personal life. Like, that's it.
You heard it here, freaks. Go experience Bitcoin if you haven't already. It's pretty fun. I can tell you from experience, it is magical using Bitcoin. Sometimes you take it for granted, but I like to believe myself, like I do have periods where I take it for granted, but there's at least once or twice a week when I'm using Bitcoin, I'm like, holy crap, I can't believe I just did this. I could pay Logan here on a Sunday night, laying in bed. I get an invoice from him. Just pay. You just got paid immediately after sending me an invoice on a Sunday night. Didn't have to wait for anything to happen. Is that cool to you, Logan? Yeah. Do you feel a magical experience when that happens?
Woohoo!
I think so. Well, Ivan, really appreciate you taking some time to do this. Thank you for writing your piece on digits and our addiction to them. I think it's really important to recognize that they're, if you're out there and you're newer to Bitcoin, you're new to the show, and you're hearing Bitcoin framed as this scarce asset, this monetary panacea to the ills of fiat, that's one way. That's probably how most people are hearing Bitcoin, but I really like this framing. Frame it the other way. Don't focus on the benefits of Bitcoin first. Recognize that you are addicted to digits that are controlled by digit lords that you have no ability to manage or sort of dictate what they do with these digits that control your life. And then once you recognize that, Bitcoin's there as a solution, and you should go really try to understand it, experience it, and recognize that there is a better way. It's already here.
Yeah.
Just not evenly distributed.
Yeah. Absolutely. And one of the things I'll share with the freaks a little bit of a show, that's what we are focusing here in Bulgaria, that we want to make a movie that completely ignores the preaching of Bitcoin. And we're going to record something that to show experiences of it with merchants, with how people are building here. And I'm excited about that project because it's my home country, but we are trying to do something different with this particular Bitcoin documentary, because I think we are ready to get outside of theory. If anybody wants to learn about Bitcoin, it's more than enough out there already. Yeah, in 2013 there was almost nothing. but now I do want to focus more on outside of theory. What is that? Whether it's culture, whether it's payments, whether it's anything else. But I choose to focus on, as I said, that experience to show what we're building here in Bulgaria.
Yeah, well, it's an example of Bitcoiners walking the walk. We talk a lot about the corruption of fiat is based on this fundamentally corrupt and what many would deem to be wrong academic theory of neoliberal Keynesian economics. Debt is money. We owe ourselves. It's not a problem. We can just print, baby, print. It's a theory that is being played out. We're seeing how the application of that theory has negative consequences on our life. But as you said, there's been a lot of talk on the theory side of Bitcoin. Like, let's walk the walk and just show how people are experiencing it and actually use it, making sure that and validating that that theory is being applied appropriately, and it actually computes from theory to actual application.
Yeah, and anybody that would like to contribute, because I would say every time that I ask the Bitcoin community or a Bitcoin friend, they want to contribute in some form. I try to somebody that dabbles in altcoins, like, I don't know, like, they don't want to share anything. Like, even the humans that are attracted to the incentives are completely different. Anybody can, any Bitcoiner wants Bitcoin to happen. for me. And that's what I love. And I see in Oster people zapping for no reason other than, oh, I can do it. But even in Geyser, where we set up our movie to get some funds there, I see all the projects people are raising funds, and I love that you don't need to ask your currency to be converted or anything. You can send the sats from anywhere in the world for any reason, and you don't have to ask anybody for it.
Yeah, I did this last week with NoBSBitcoin.com. They had their Geyser fund up and recognized we've been using them as fodder for rabbit hole recap topics, and I hadn't donated to their efforts in a while, and I was like, you know what, it's time to give back to the NoBS Bitcoin team. They've been helping us out a lot, whether they recognize it or not, with rabbit hole recap, and I should support them. It was a boom point send. I'm pretty sure they're not in the United States, and so international sats transfer immediately, very cheap.
Yeah. It's awesome. Like, so very few are still experiencing this type of thing. Because right now, I would say I'm so much less richer than some Bitcoin whales or anything. Because, I mean, really in Bitcoin, what I told you is in 2022. But my life is so much richer because of the people that I'm surrounded now by, the things that we are excited to build. For me, again, Bitcoin is not the highest priority. And when I became a father, it dropped down even further. So, yeah.
Ain't that the truth? Ain't that the truth? Let's do it for the kids. Ivan, we're going to win because of people like you. Thank you for doing what you do. We will link to everything in the show notes, from your articles to Misty from Breeze. And you said, do you have a Geyser for the documentary?
Yeah. It's called Build on Bitcoin, the Bulgarian Journey.
Yeah.
As I said, we set up that and we use it as a website because money works there. We don't have another website because money doesn't.
Hell yeah. All right, Ivan. You go enjoy the rest of your night, and hopefully we do this again at some point in the future.
Yeah, maybe after the movie. Well, thank you very much for having me.
Peace and love, freaks. Okay. Freaks, thank you for listening to the show. I hope you liked it. If you did like it, please make sure you subscribe, rate, review the show. It helps us out a lot. And also, if you like these conversations, I've come to realize that many people listen to the podcast. They don't know we have another sort of layer of this media company. We have the newsletter, the Bitcoin Brief. Go to tftc.io. Make sure you subscribe there. A lot of the topics that are discussed on this podcast, I write about 5 days a week in the newsletter. We also have the TFTC Elite tier. If you sign up for that, become a member. We have a private Discord server for the elite freaks out there, where we're dropping ad-free versions of this show and having discussions about everything we talk about a day early. Logan wanted me to make sure, if you want to get the show a day early, become a TFTC Elite member, you will get that. We have our Discord server. Right now it's conversation between myself and TFTC Elite tier members, but we're going to expand that. We'll probably do closed Q&As with people in the industry. I may be doing Macro Mondays. So join us. Go to tftc.io, subscribe, find the button in the top right corner of the website, become a TFTC Elite member. Thank you for joining us. Okay.